Hi there, and welcome to Church of Philadelphia's podcast. We're a church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
It was the head of my life, the strength of my life. Amen. I am nothing without him. I need him. I need him. I need him. Giving honor to my wife, to everyone in their respected places. Amen. We are still talking about the honor factor. Honor is the thing that makes the difference. Amen. We are going to go to the book of Malachi, chapter number 1, and we're going to start at verse number 6. We're going to have our decree for the word. Amen. As you're turning there, Malachi, chapter number 1, starting at verse number 6. Decree for the word is that my ears, heart, and spirit are open to receive the engrafted word of God, which is quick, alive, and powerful, active, and a spirit of meekness. The ground of my life is fertile to nurture. Okay. To nurture. Somebody say nurture. And grow the seed of God's word that will produce fruit in my life this week. I am a successful doer of what I will hear today. And I will leave here today full of faith, love, power, wisdom, and victory. Father, we thank you right now, God, that our hearts are open, God. We thank you that you have already dug out our ears, God. Prepare them, God, to hear what you would say even now, God. We ask for the releasing of your Holy Spirit, God, in and amongst us even now, God, that we will receive your word even now, God. We pray, God, that your word will come alive, quicken your word on the inside of us, God. This in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to Malachi chapter number 1, verse number 6, and the word of God reads, it says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? You can be seated in the presence of our living God. And the title that we're working with on today, we're talking about honoring relationships, honoring relationships. And the pattern that we've been using in scripture, we went to the book of Mark, chapter number 12, starting at verse number 29 through 31. We've been using this as a pattern to show, you know, what love and honor is, you know, or what honor and love is. And so the Bible talks about in the book of Mark, hear, O Israel, that the Lord our God is one. And he talks about how Mark begins to speak about how we're supposed to love the Lord God. Love him first. Love him first. Honor him first. Honor him first. Love him first. Honor him first. With all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our body, with all of our strength. And then he said the second one is namely ask this, where we're supposed to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so we told you how when you look at the word love, the word love can be switched or changed with the word honor, because honor and love, they go hand in hand. And as we talked about the marriage covenant, we understand that the father, his bride is the nation of Israel, whereas Christ, his bride is the church. And so we see, even when we look at the covenant relationship between that of a man and a husband, a man and a wife, I should say, we understand that husbands love your wives, wives honor your husbands. So we see love and honor go hand in hand in relationships. And so we're talking about honoring relationships. And so we understand about relationships, when you and I are a part of relationships, especially covenant relationships, relationships should take you places in your life. And as we tie honor into this whole relationship piece, Because remember, we told you from a Hebraic perspective that honor. Can you give me the definition for honor? We told you from a Hebraic perspective that the definition for honor, it opens the inside door. The inside door, that being the heart. And when you think about the inside door being open, a door leads to certain places. Right? And so when we think about honor opening the inside door of the heart, right? Because again, we said it's something valued by the weight that you place upon it or the weight that it has. This denotes the value or this denotes the honor that a thing or a person has in your life, right? So not only that, we talked about when this inside door of the heart is open, right? It is the biblical door to the great friendship. It is the biblical door to great friendship. Notice, friendship, relationship, whether it's relationship or whether it's friendship, the word ship denotes something, a vessel that should take you to a certain destination. So understand, relationship, friendship, it should take you somewhere. So even when we talk about relationship, it is the biblical door to great friendship, love, community, fellowship. Another word with the ship on the end, fellowship, community or fellowship and blessing. So we understand that a door leads to a certain place. So when we honor, honor is the door that opens the inside door of the heart, right? So as we honor, because a door leads us places, it leads us not just into the heart of an individual, but it leads us to what? Great friendship. It leads us to love. It leads us to community or fellowship, or it leads us to a place of blessing. So understand, doors, they lead to places. And honor opens the inside door, that being the heart. Amen? So we understand that relationships take us places. We see friendship, we see relationship, we see fellowship. And we're talking about covenant relationship. When you and I are in covenant relationship, whether that be covenant relationship between us and God, or whether that be covenant relationship this way. And I'm not just talking about being in covenant relationship with a spouse. I'm talking about being in covenant relationship with siblings, being in covenant relationship with friends, being in covenant relationship with other people that are part of the body of Christ. So when you and I are in covenant relationship, it reveals things about you. Right? So being in covenant relationship, it reveals things about us, right? And this is the thing, when you understand that covenant relationship reveals things about us, as you and I allow people access into our lives, they begin to show us things about ourselves. As we're in covenant relationship with other people, as we allow them to enter into our lives, they begin to show us things about ourselves. Because how many know, let's be honest, you and I have blind spots when it comes to seeing ourselves. Right? You and I have blind spots when it comes to seeing ourselves. And the truth be told, some of us, we are biased when it comes to us. You and the scripture lets us know, how dare you speak to the speck that is in someone's eye when you got a beam in your eye? Because it shows that we can see everything about someone else, but when it comes to us, we have blind spots. We don't see as well. Especially if you're not in the discipline of examining yourself. Now, most of us tend to examine ourselves when someone brings something to our attention. And the truth be told, when someone brings something to our attention, because we're skeptics most of the time, we don't believe what they say. Because we're saying, nah, that's not me. That cannot possibly be me. I would never do. I would never say. When in reality, it is very much you. It is very much you. So we're here in this book of Malachi. Well, the prophet Malachi is speaking a word to the people. The people were taken in captivity, but they have been brought back into the land. And now that they've been back into the land, the thing is they're questioning God's provision for them. Because now that they're back in the land, it doesn't appear to be that they have enough to sustain them as a people. And so they're blaming God because we don't have enough. Since we don't have enough, since it didn't rain enough for our crops to be supplied, then guess what? We're going to act out. When you feel like you're not taken care of properly, most of us, we act out. Oh, yes, we do. We show our natural behind. I'm going to go ahead and say that. We show our natural behind. We show our tails. Yes, we do. When we feel like we have not been properly cared for. And this is what the people felt. They felt like God had not properly provided for them. So because you have not properly provided for us, God, it gives me reason to show out. I have reason to show out. Did you know that? I have reason to show out. I have an excuse to show myself. You brought us back into the land, into the promised land, only what? To not provide for us? Okay, God. Then this is what we're going to do. Then we're going to do everything that we want to do. We're about to wild out. And that's what most of us do. Husbands gone wild. Oh, yes. When you feel like your wife has not properly taken care of you, husband gone wild. And on the other end, when you feel like your wife has not properly taken care of you, you understand what I'm saying? There is that such thing as a wife gone wild. Okay, when you feel like he has not given you the money you want, the attention you want, you know, wife gone wild. And then dare I say children gone wild, girls gone wild, boys gone wild. Oh, yes, when you don't get that attention. And you know what I'm learning? That it, with the children, it's not the attention. They don't necessarily want all the love. They don't want all the hugs and the kisses and stuff. They want the gifts and stuff. They want the money and stuff. You understand? They want all the congratulations and stuff without the affection and stuff, without the touching and stuff. Congratulate me from afar. Just buy for me from afar. But you don't want this type of attention. So you'll have children gone wild. I got a reason to act up. Because I got all A's and you told me you was going to give me a certain amount of money. And I didn't get my money. So I got a reason to act up. But you as a child, I'm trying to let you be a child. If I were to show you this bank account, then you'll see why you didn't get the money. I should be a parent gone wild for you saying that. Thinking that. When I'm around here praying while you sleep, we praying. And you got the nerve to walk around here with your arms folded and you stomping and nothing that you paid for. You got the nerve to have an attitude and nothing you pay for. Right? Children gone wild. Lord have mercy. Wow. And then don't let you as a parent try to pick their friends for them. Because they forget that you were their age at one point. You know what you know. You see what you see. You recognize stuff about their friends that they can't recognize because they're too close. So because you're too close, you refuse to see what you see. So because we don't have the same time that you have to your friend, there are some things that we can't see that you are unwilling to see. And because we've been where you are and we care for you the way we care for you, we're trying to get you not to make some of the same mistakes that we made. You don't see what we see. No, the children going wild because they feel like we're interfering in their relationships. Oh, you just a helicopter parent. I'm tired of you hovering over me. Okay. I'm trying to save you some heartache. I'm trying to save you from a lifetime of pain. Trying to save you from some heartbreaks. Because see, most of us as parents, we only know it's only when we got in God that we were able to recover from certain heartbreaks. Well, y'all ain't gonna talk to me. Because we tell you, there is no pain like pain from the opposite sex. It's only when we got in God and we allowed God to deal with our hearts and allowed God to come in and heal us, or allow God to come and give us a new heart, that we were able to push past that heartbreak. Some heartbreaks happened 10 years ago, but we remember the pain of that thing as if it happened last week or yesterday. Not to mention the disappointments in life. Some things we're just trying to warn you of as a good parent. But because you fail to understand that, children gone wild. So relationships between children and parents, they're not what they're supposed to be. There were some parents actually grinding, hustling, trying to make sure that they have enough when it comes to retirement age, because I don't know if my child is going to take care of me like I took care of them. which is the principle of the Bible. The children are supposed to take care of the parents in their old age. But some of the children have such an issue with the parents. I'm talking about that. As soon as I get 18, I'm getting away from him. I'm moving as far away as I can. What you really help us understand about you is you really don't understand relationship. You really don't understand love. Because you still think if people don't let you do what you want to do, then they don't love you. See, that was me. That was my very definition of love. If you don't let me do what I want to do, then you don't love me. How ignorant was I? Love corrects you. But see, this world that we live in now, this age of expression where nobody has an ear to hear, but everybody has something to say. This world tells you that when you're corrected, they judging me. And now you're going to take a chapter out of what? Tupac chapter 2 verse 1. Only God can judge me. The devil is a lie. Yeah. That's the way this world got you thinking, that when someone corrects you, that they're judging. Correction is not judgment. Correction is actually a demonstration of love. So Malachi is speaking on behalf of God to the people, where they've been doing what they want because they felt like God has not provided for them. And so the Lord begins to say, a son honoreth his father. And again, when we talk about honor, it is the thing that opens the inside door of the heart, but it is also the value that you place upon someone or something, right? It means to be something weighty or to be heavy. And if it's someone, if you and I are indeed the sons of God, and remember we said from a Hebraic perspective, son does not denote gender, it denotes the nature and character of God. So you are a son if you demonstrate the nature and the character of God. Not just your gender, but sons are those who demonstrate the nature and the character of God. So he said, a son honored his father, right? And a servant his master. So even when we talk about this word honor, to be heavy, if you place honor on someone that is in your life, meaning they have a weight or the heaviness to them, it doesn't matter what y'all go through because they have such a heavy influence in your life. I don't care if we argue, fall out, and don't talk for 5 months. At the end of the day, because you have weight in my life, you're going to remain in my life. But there are some people who are so flaky that someone says something to them or someone reveals something to them about them, because again, being in covenant relationship with people reveals things about you. And it also reveals things about the person that you are in covenant relationship with. So when things are revealed about you that you do not like, it becomes difficult to remain in relationship with this individual. But if you honor a person for being in your life, that means they have weight in your life. And no matter what we go through, no matter the storms that we go through, no matter the battles that we go through, because you have weight in my life, the storm nor the battle is going to cause you to be uprooted. It's going to cause you to be moved out of my life because you have weight in my life. Question, who has that type of honor in your life? Who has that type of heavy influence in your life? He said, a son honors his father and a servant his master. And we understand God to be the master, and we're supposed to be the servants of God. So he said, as sons, where's my honor? And if I'm your master and you're the servants of the Most High God, where is my honor? He said, if then I be a father, which he is, where is my honor? Because he tell you, a son honored. And we told you the pattern that we've used was in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. Love God first, then love your neighbor. And if indeed we are sons, there's supposed to be an honor for God in our lives, in our relationship with God. There is supposed to be an honor. And then if we are the servants of God, there is supposed to be an honor for God as being our master. So he says, if then I be father, where is my honor? Where is my honor? Is the question that God is posing. Where is my honor? It is something that should be seen, something that should be visible. It is something that should be noticeable. Oh, yeah. Your honor, the honor that you have for significant people, is something that should be visibly seen. Very much noticeable. We're not talking about just the lip service. Well, you say, well, hey, I honor such and such. No, it should be seen, because if honor and love can be interchanged, if love is a demonstrating word, something that you actually walk out, something that you actually do, honor is indeed the same thing. You said, and if I be a master, where is my fear? Where is the reverence for me? If I'm your master and you are a servant of the Most High God, where is your reverence for me? So because you honor him as a father, because you honor him as master, it automatically should produce a reverence on the inside of you. It should produce an awe where you are standing in awe of who he is. Master denotes the one that has control. And see, some of you, your life is the master. Oh, let's go ahead and be real. Your life is the actual master. Because you don't believe that God is sovereign. You don't believe that God is in control of your very life. Your little small life. No, he's in control. And then some of us, we look at all the things that are happening around the world. And we think whether or not, if God is in control, then why are all of these things happening? They're happening because there is sin in the world, not because he isn't God sitting on the throne. It's happening because there are some wicked people that are making evil and wicked choices, not because God is not God and he's not seated on the throne. So he said, if I be master, then where is my fear? Used to be a time that you would stand in awe of God. Now, it has to be God has to do something that you just know you could not have done for yourself. And then that puts you into a place where you begin to stand in awe of God. Oh, but I wish that we would go back to that mindset when we first got saved. When you just wanted to be with him, when you just wanted to talk to him, when you just wanted God to talk to you, and you didn't really want nothing. You didn't want no materialistic things from God. You just wanted to be in his presence. See, I'm talking about that standing in awe of him. Where no matter what he said, you just believed him. And because you just believed him, then guess what? He could do it. He could perform what he said because you just believed him. But now that we've had time, it's just like in a relationship. When you give it time, it has seasons that it must go through. And there were certain seasons in a relationship, I'm just here. I'm not as engaged as I was last season. I'm just here. Do you know somebody? Can you relate? I'm here. I know where I'm supposed to be, but I'm just coasting. I'm not as engaged. I'm not communicating as much. I'm not trying to understand as much. I'm not trying to give as much. I'm just here. I'm giving enough to let you know that I'm here. I'm giving enough to let you know that my attention is nowhere else. I'm just here. Think about those of us who are married. When you first met the love of your life, how you couldn't take your eyes off of them. And you wanted to talk to them 24 hours a day. And it didn't matter if they had anything to say. Just the fact that I'm on the phone with you, I can't stand that. You just been on the phone, just, I don't want to hear you breathe. But love has this funny way of dealing with you that you don't mind listening to this person breathe. You just, you sleep? No, I ain't sleep. Knowing you probably fell asleep. You sleep? All right, sleep. Stuff like that. But love will make you do stuff like that, where you stay on the phone in the wee hours of the morning. The new thing is, this new thing that the kids do, the FaceTime where they watch each other go to sleep. I said, what the father? You don't even know if you slept. You don't even know if you fell asleep before them, and they're watching you sleep while you think they sleep, but they're actually watching you while you sleep, and you look a mess. You know, some folks, they grind their teeth. They crunch their teeth. They make all kind of noises. They snore. And I be looking like, what? And that's the new thing now with children. When I found out about that, like, you do what? We put our phone on FaceTime and we watch each other go to. What are you getting out of that? Like, do y'all talk to y'all phones? Like, no, we just set our phone in position, get comfortable to what? I said, okay, what is this world coming to? To watch each other go to sleep. So, you know, I don't know any better. I had to ask the question. Is this trying to figure out, like, if we were married? Because I understand when you're a little older, you think about, like, I wonder what it would be like, you know what I'm saying, when we lay in the bed together. Stuff like that. Is that what y'all are thinking about when you watch? No, we're not. We just watch each other go. What is the purpose of this? See, it didn't make sense to me. I was like, what is the purpose? You telling me the purpose is just to watch each? That thing blew me. It messed me up, y'all. I was like, you know what, God? I'm so glad to be in the generation that I'm in. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I just thought that was the most craziest thing. Like, suppose you fall asleep first, and then they go show somebody else. God has said, why don't you stand in awe of me anymore? I get it. We're not standing in awe of God anymore because most of us are still trying to figure out if you still want to be in relationship with Him. Is it even worth being in relationship with God? Because we're trying to figure out, what am I getting out of this relationship? They keep telling me He's not a genie in a bottle. So they've taken my wishes away. They keep telling me that I can't abuse His grace, so I can't do whatever I want to do and then come back and say, God, forgive me. They keep telling me He's a father, but because I have issues with my own father, I struggle seeing Him, this invisible person, as a father. So what am I even getting out of this relationship? They tell me He can comfort me. They tell me He can touch me, but the type of touch that I need and want, this invisible person will not give it to me. So what am I even getting out of this relationship? They keep telling me to trust Him, but if I do the trust fall, how could this invisible person catch me? What am I really getting out of this relationship? Seems to be that this relationship is all about Him. Worship you. Praise you. Pray to you. Trust you. Believe you. Stand on your word. Well, what about me? I have feelings too. Isn't that what we say? Isn't that how we think? I have feelings too. What about me? And then when you don't necessarily talk about your feelings, I have needs too. What about me? What about what I need, God? And see, according to the individual, the needs differ. According to time, the needs differ. So wherever you are in life, what about me? Seems to be being in a relationship, it requires sacrifice. This relationship is all about sacrifice. Giving up stuff. I'm trying to acquire stuff. I'm trying to have some stuff. Haven't you noticed the more money you get, he says, the more money give away. And we're not just talking about tithes. He'll tell you, bless them. Bless them. Bless him. Bless her. Give to the school. He looks like, what in the... Seem to be this relationship is all about sacrifice. I'm trying to acquire some things. You understand? But Lord says, he said, oh, priests. Remember, the nation of Israel was supposed to be a nation of priests. He said, oh, priests that despise my name. You look down upon my name with disrespect. See, you don't believe you look down upon his name with disrespect. I'm going to challenge your thinking. If you've ever prayed to God in one of the many different names or characters that describes him, and you felt like God did not answer you, and you begin to question that name or that character of God, what you're really doing is looking at that name or that character of God. You're looking at it with disrespect. You say, but old priests, the ones that minister on my behalf, oh priests. The ones that speak on my behalf, oh priests. The ones that serve in my house, oh priests. Why do you despise, disrespect my name? He said, and you say, wherein have we disrespected or despised? Where? When did I disrespect your name? When you failed to believe me. When you questioned me, please don't misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm not saying you can't ask God questions. I'm talking about when you questioned him about when you thought he didn't do it. When you say, God, why you didn't do it? I pray and I believe you, God, but why didn't you do it? You disrespected his name, his character. Because we're talking about honoring relationships. And this doesn't just work on this level. If you honor God, it opens the inside door to the heart of God. Think about it. When you first got saved, all you did, all you wanted to do was honor God. Meaning all you wanted to do was love on God. It was all about God. It was him first and everything else came secondary. Now you got a wife, or now you got a husband, and now y'all got children, and the children, you got to put the children first. Before your spouse, all out of order. You got a new car. You got to make sure the new car stay waxed and clean and vacuum out. You make more time to keep the car clean and you don't even talk to God. Got your new little house, your new little crib. Pray. God move. God show favor. You spend more time at your little raggedy house and don't want to come to the house of God. The house that he blessed you with. But see, somebody still believe they made everything happen in their life. I did this. What a deception. or the deception. So he's saying, you despise my name. And they got the nerve to say, where? When did we despise your name? When did we disrespect your name? We're talking about honoring relationships. Do you value the relationships that are in your life? Really? Do you really value the relationships that are in your life? I heard a bunch of amens and all rights and uh-huhs and a yes, right? If that were the case, the question that I now pose to you, if those relationships that you say you value, the question that I now pose to you is, how present are you? See, most of us want to give presents or gifts rather than give your presence you. If the relationship mattered, or if you value the relationship, then you are present. It doesn't mean, okay, that you physically have to be there all the time, because we understand. You could be in different states, different countries, but I make myself available, whether it be by phone call, email, FaceTime, Facebook, whatever the case may be. However I can make myself be present, I make myself be present. So for the relationship that you say that you value, I will have to challenge you on that when I look at your presence or your availability. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 1. And the writer of the book of Hebrews is coming to the conclusion of this particular chapter. You can give me that, Mike. He's coming to the conclusion of this particular chapter. All right? So you, this particular writer, Lord, Mike, right? This is a book called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen R. Covey. And he said one of the things that successful people do is they begin with the end in mind. Just stay right here, Mike. He said the most fundamental application of beginning with the end in mind is to begin with the image. It's to begin with the image or picture or paradigm of the end of your life as your frame of reference or the criteria by which everything else is examined. So even as we link this to honoring relationships, where do you see the relationship going? For every relationship that you are involved in, where do you see this relationship going? So he said one of the habits of successful people, they see the end. And because they see the end of a thing, they know how to go back and start from the beginning. And they never lose focus, because I know what it's supposed to look like at the end. I don't allow distractions or things to come in and throw me off, because I know what this is supposed to look like when I get to a certain place. So even if there were bumps in the road dealing with certain relationships, because I understand what the end of this relationship is supposed to be, back, simply all about honor. You honor me, I honor you. And because we honor one another, it brings honor unto God. Regardless of the trials, tribulations, or the struggles that we deal with, I know where we're supposed to be. I know what we're supposed to look like. So give me back to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. He says what? It says, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love remain, or let brotherly love abide, or let brotherly love be present. And even when you think about this word let, per se, it is to allow brotherly love to be present. And the thing is, God has made it such a way that love is supposed to exist between us, but some of us have made the decision that I'm not going to allow love to be present. I'm not going to allow love to abide. I'm not going to allow love to remain or exist. And when you think about it, it's when you think about why we refuse to allow love to remain, exist, or be present, it's something that is so trivial, something that is so small. As a matter of fact, it's something that makes you feel you didn't get your way. So because you didn't get your way, or because it wasn't all about you, I'm not going to let love. Or because someone told you the truth, and I understand there were some days truth is going to be very offensive. Instead of us hearing what was said, we heard how it was said. You're so focused on, I had to raise my voice, go up an octave, till you missed the message of what I was saying. Or you so caught up because I was talking with aggressive hand movements, and you missed what I was actually saying to you. Stop focusing on how it was said or how it was spoken to you and hear what was actually spoken to you. Why? Because when we refuse to do this, we refuse to let love be present. You know what? One of the things I used to struggle with so bad with apostles was times that he would correct me, and then him correcting me, it would be, I was just trying to explain why I did what I did. And there were days in me trying to explain, I would be interrupting him because I'm like, well, that, I did it. And it would get to the point where he would be so tired of me interrupting him trying to explain that he would be, shut up. I'm talking. And I would look like, man, I'm a full-grown man myself. Right? The thing that ticked me off so bad is that you're saying what you want to say, but you're not giving me an opportunity to say what I need to say, which is why I did what I did. I'm not even arguing that I'm wrong. I'm just trying to explain to you why I did what I did. This was my thinking when I did what I did. I can accept that I'm wrong. But it became difficult to even accept that I was wrong when I felt like I was not given the opportunity to explain why I did a wrong thing. Which made it very difficult to let brotherly love be present in our relationship. It almost seemed like my spiritual father was having to fight to instruct his spiritual son. It almost appeared to be that the father was fighting just to impart to the son. To give you what you need in order to be successful when you leave my presence. Why is it that I must fight to give you what it is that you need? Why must I fight to do what God has called me to do in your life? Why is it a fight with you? But see, I'm so glad that even when it felt like, seemed like, looked like that it was a fight, I'm glad that my father, my spiritual father, never gave up on me. Because there was a devil that said, you know what? There is somebody else out there that will respect you. There is somebody else out there that will actually pay for what you're trying to give him for free. There is somebody else out there who would appreciate what he does not appreciate. There is somebody else out there that will honor you where you feel like you're being dishonored by this individual. And it becomes difficult to allow love to be present. And then, you know, people be chiming in on the outside. Because not only was I some, but I'm a bearer. Then folk will talk to me, they could do my job better than me. See, now love is just not about an everywhere. Because see, now I want to fight folk. Because you got so much to say. And you always want to go over here and whisper. Say it to me. You know, the foolishness, they don't have a clue what it even requires. They don't even have a clue what was, you know, it said even put upon us as being an armor bearer. But what they saw, they just saw what's coming in with the man of God. I can do that. I know. And I would just shake my head at some folk like. And see, at times when love was abiding with us, he was like, Lincoln, what you pick up about what you discern? And I tell him, he said, you right on it. He even asked me, they said they can armor bearer. What you think? They won't make it. They're not going to make it. I give them 2 weeks. No, these were real life. I give them 2 weeks. Man of God, because see, they're looking at the fluff. But they're not there when you jumping up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning praying for an hour and we got to get right back up at 5 o'clock and then we don't go back to sleep. We only eat one time a day. They're not there doing all of that. When you jumping up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not necessarily praying for your household and your family. You're praying for the folk on the outside of your house. I don't even have a clue who or what you're praying about, but I got to pick it up in the realm of the spirit and come right behind. I tell you, and don't miss a beat. They don't have a clue. Because some of them love their sleep too much. Our sleep was so interrupted, so broken up, to this very day I still don't sleep well. The man of God could call me. I live in my own house, pay my own bills. The man of God could call me. I jump straight up my bed. Huh? Yes, sir. Faking like I'm up. Because I remember I first got in my house. Now, he's still, I know you ain't still in no bed. Man of God. Till my life just ain't right. Still, my life just still not right. The man of God called me. Now, I don't sleep well. I don't sleep well. I just jump straight out the bed. Not no sit up. I jump straight out. Running. Got a full stride from the bed to the bathroom. Like, whoa. Yes, sir. What's going on, man of God? You know how you have to change your voice. You can't hear no sleep in my voice. But because the man of God is discerning, like, nah, you ain't tricking nobody. I know you just got up, man of God. Man of God, I wasn't asleep, though. I was laying down, but I wasn't asleep, man of God. Hey, man, listen. You understand? I'm just saying. You know, especially them days where love didn't really abide when those 5 o'clock morning calls and you were called upon. To give the taught word, or you were called upon to give the morning prayer, or you were called upon to give the prophetic word, what is God saying? And you were stumbling in your prayer. Stumbling over the taught word, or stumbling over the prophetic word. You know, if you like me, you'll try to cough like, trying to gather your thoughts and get yourself together. The devil is a lie. You didn't meditate on that. You didn't seek God for what God wanted to say to us. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about. When that truth came, if you were not careful, you found yourself getting mad because you were corrected in front of everybody else. But the Bible said that open rebuke is better than a secret love. Right? And that's the thing, because many of us got rebuked openly. That thing would do something to me. I would just be like, till it got to a point where this is expected. I'm coming to church to get rebuked. No, am I lying? Y'all know my name was on every CD, every tape. Then when we moved the CD on every Sunday services, when we had two services, I was on the 8 o'clock, the 11 o'clock, the Wednesday night Bible studies. I was on the prophetic Saturday, everything. But it helped me. I wouldn't change it. It was very uncomfortable. Many days I didn't like it. Many days I was mad as a bulldog. But I wouldn't change it. Because one thing he told me when I first got here, he said, Lincoln, if you don't understand that everything that I'm doing, when I rebuke you, especially when I rebuke you in front of other people, if you don't understand I'm doing what I'm doing because I love you, none of this is going to make sense. None of this is going to matter. I'm so glad I held on to what he said to me. that in those moments when I was angry and upset, I would go back and remember he's doing it because he loves me. And when I found out love doesn't always feel comfortable, love doesn't always make you feel good, love doesn't always make what they have to say doesn't always be easy, something easy to say. But I learned we must allow brotherly, family love. Even if we come from different natural parents, we all got the same father. So even when we go back to Romans 12 and 10, right? Honoring one another. That love, that brotherly love, honor one another, preferring one another. I can choose you because I see you as my family. And Pastor Ivan began to hit on this. Now we understand why you treat us the way you treat us, because some of you have issues with your actual family. So how you treat your natural family is how you're treating your spiritual family. I don't really deal with them. I don't spend no time with them. I come and I'm gone. They won't see me until another 3 weeks. That's how some of us are when it comes to our spiritual family. They're not going to see me until another 3 weeks. Let brotherly love continue. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 17. It says, honor all men. Honor all men. We say all means all in the Bible. And when you begin to deal with all, it talks about individual. Honor every individual person. When I look inside the church, see, there is a leadership staff. They may honor the pastors, but they may not honor the prophets. They may honor the pastors, but they may not honor the ministers. They may honor the pastors, but they may not honor the other lay members. But Peter is saying honor all men, honor every individual for who they are. All is not just talking about all, but all is also, when you break it out, it's talking about the individual, but it also talks about the different types of people. Because what I know about you, I know you got your type. When it comes to relationship, you got your type. Some of y'all like it pink. Pink, vanilla, beige, red, yellow, tan, I don't know. Some of y'all like a little mixture of color, swirl, I don't know. I'm just saying, honor all men, it's not just talking about the individuals, it's also talking about the different types. So we understand you have a type. So even when it comes to relationship, we understand that there are types of people that you prefer to be in relationship with. But like we just showed you in Romans 10 and 12, or 12 and 10, I should say, preferring, you're my preference. You don't have to be my type, but you're my preference. Oh yeah, I know I said something right there. You are not my type, but you're still my preference. Our perceptions are very, very different, but you're still my preference. The way you see things and the way I see things, the way you understand things and how I understand things, very different, but you are my preference. I still choose to choose you. We only, see, let's be real. Sometimes we only choose folk because of the benefits. You are the benefit of why I'm choosing you. I get to benefit from you. My life is about to be enhanced because of you. I know you don't like the way my voice sounds, but I still choose you. Somebody, no, that's real for somebody, because somebody has struggled all their life with how their voice sounds in their own head. And so because they struggle with how their voice sounds in their own head, guess what? They automatically projected that upon you, that guess what? If I hate my own voice, then I know you're going to have a problem with my voice. So I know you ain't going to choose me, because guess what? I don't like hearing myself talk. So why would I believe that you just want to choose me? But guess what? As crazy as your voice now, I still choose to choose you. Because at the end of the day, what I understand, although you believe your voice sounds crazy, you don't like your voice, you hate your voice, but the Lord says there is significance in your voice. So I benefit from the significance that is housed inside of your voice. Some of us get caught up on our physical features. Why would they choose me? Why would I not choose you? If you know anything about me, I've always considered myself, not because everybody else told me, it's what I told myself, I'm different. I knew that I was different. I just didn't know how to describe my difference. It was until God began to tell me, this is why you're different. That's one of the things that God has created us with. He's created us with difference. Not just your gender making you different, but he's created you with difference. And so when I begin to understand my difference, I can appreciate myself. Which would allow me to appreciate the difference of others. I think it would be a crime if you always agreed with me. Even though I think I'm right most of the time. I think it would be a crime if you always agreed with me. I think it would be a crime. What am I really getting from? How am I really benefiting from you if you always agreed with me? He says, honor all men. Love. Again, we see honor and love together. Honor and love together. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. And I know you see brotherhood, but guess what? There is a sisterhood. There is a parenthood. There is a marriagehood. There are different hoods, and we've already talked about finding your place in the hood. He said, love the brotherhood. Or love the sisterhood. Those brothers that hold you accountable, man. So I get it. You don't necessarily like to deal with us because you don't want the accountability. You know, in the brotherhood, you know, we operate in two different facets of the brotherhood. There was the Laodicean men, meaning there were the marriage men, but then there was just us men, where married and single men come together. We have been held accountable for how we act, how we talk, how we honor, how we love in our marriages, how we act, how we talk, and how we love, and how we honor with our children. There were men holding us accountable. Are you okay with being held accountable by your brothers, or are you okay with being held accountable by your sisters? You know, I heard something that I thought it was very, very kind of just, was kind of shocking to me. One of the young women didn't necessarily want to go on the trip with the women. She said she kind of felt out of place because she was kind of young and the women were kind of old. They're older or they're younger at heart. Right? It's not that I didn't understand, but again, where people are in their lives will make a person see things a certain way. Because of where I am in my life, I'm a little bit older, I've gone through some things. I have come to appreciate the company of other people. I have come to appreciate the words of other people. Or simply put, I have come to appreciate the help of other people. Because see, when you're young, you think you're invincible. You got it. You don't need no help. Taking help is to be weak. It's a sign of weakness. What a deception. Help me. Now, one thing I can say about myself, I've never wanted to decline help when I was young or old. Certain things I would decline help. But I was open to help. But in hearing that, I was like, why are you looking at it like that? I said, there was a lot that you can learn from these women. You know, I was trying to tell her, I said, well, why don't you just change how you're viewing it? There is something that you can get from these women. All these women represent different stories, different successes, different challenges that they've gone through, different trials that they've experienced, and different battles that they've come through, different storms that they endured, different upbringings that they came through. There is so much that you can learn from these women. But I got it. I didn't make her feel guilty about it. I understood. People are in different places and they see things very differently. So you just have to patiently just wait and endure with people. That when that proper time comes around, they will recognize what has always been in their midst. And see, that's the thing that God wants you to understand. Don't overlook what He's had in your midst all along. Because so many times it's right in the very relationship that you are in, but you don't think the answer is there. You don't think that, you know what I'm saying, the thing that will solve the problem is there, but it's right in your face. But some of us, we don't think our spouses are smart enough. We don't think our children are intelligent enough, that they don't know anything. So you refuse to believe that the answer or the solution is right there. So he says, on all men, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. Love the sisterhood. Love the parenthood. Love the marriagehood. He says, fear God. Stand in awe of God. Reverence God. And then he says, honor the king, the leader of the people. So the pattern is always God first. Then people come next. God first, then people come next. Where are you with your honor in your relationships? Because if we can switch out honor and love, if I honor you, if you have a certain weight in my life, a certain influence in my life, there's some things I'm just not going to do because I honor you. There's some things I'm just simply not going to do because I love you. I'm not saying folk don't have slip-ups, mess-ups, because I surely have had mine. And truth be told, some things I have not done, it ain't because willpower kept me from doing it. It's like the man of God said, the opportunity hasn't presented itself. But when the opportunities came, what kept me wasn't willpower, it was the power of the Holy Ghost. It was the prayer that I prayed when I first got saved, God, keep me when I don't want to be kept. A prayer that I still oftentimes pray because I love God, but there's some things that I also love. I'm not saying I love those things more than I love God. But some days it is a wrestle. God or this thing. God or this person. God or this desire. God or this lust. So I'm grateful that I had enough wisdom to pray to prayer, God, when I don't want to be kept, God, please keep me. Because what I do understand, I need to be kept, God. And so every time those moments come in my life and I know it was nobody but God that kept me, I honor God. I stand in awe of God. I stand in awe of God when I was like, God, I didn't want you at that moment. I didn't want you. I didn't want you. But yet you still wanted me and you honored what I said and you kept me. Like, it keeps me in awe of God. And I just begin to weep and like, God, you were such a good God. When I didn't want you, you still wanted me. When I was rejecting you, you were still saying, come. That's why I say, who wouldn't serve a God like that? Now, we understand the king, from a natural sense, is the leader of the people, but God is the king of kings. So I honor God. It's been the king of kings, and then I honor the person that God has put as the leader of the people. There was a certain relationship that we're supposed to have. And the relationship doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to always be up close and personal. You cannot disregard the role that people walk in. Even if the individual or the person themselves are not right, you cannot disregard the role. There is a reason why the role is present. The role is present because God ordained for the role to be present. For example, most of us have a problem with President Trump. Can't stand the fact that he tweets all the time and some of the crap he tweets and some of the stuff you don't like. You cannot disregard the role. Because we see in the Bible every king that rose up. Matter of fact, the first king, he started off doing well. King Saul started doing well. But one decision to disobey God, or partial obedience, cost him the kingdom. You can't disregard the role, though, just because the individual is not right. And we're going to get into these things. You cannot disregard or dishonor location. What am I saying? Some of us are tripped because you don't know why you keep coming to this church. Because it's God ordained you to come. As many times you've tried to go to another church, something just didn't sit well, it just didn't fit right, because God ordained you to be here. I'm not your perfect pastor. I'm never going to try to be your perfect pastor. I'm going to try to be Lincoln. In church, I'm going to try to be Pastor Lincoln. Try to be Pastor Lincoln. Right? But I get it. I'm never going to be perfect. And neither are you. There's only one perfect one. And that is God. But don't fail to honor people because of their issues. Because of their struggles. Or dare we say because of their sin. See, some of us, we'll look cross-eyed, look down on folk because of their sin. Struggles or the issues, and you don't even realize you have moved into a place where you have been dishonoring them. Like God can't forgive them or wash them and clean them up like he did you. So I was never on it, but some of y'all, you know, you still hanging on Donnie McClurk and son. We fall for a saint. I'm not a saint who was a sinner who just fell out. Oh, no. Absolutely not. coming in agreement with that foolishness. Some of y'all still hang on that though. You're like, yeah, we go mess up, we wrestle with this flesh. You don't have to. None of us have to. Even though you wrestle with this nasty flesh like I do, none of us have to fall. Because your Bible and my Bible says, now unto him that is able. See, you would thought you would have stopped playing that soft music right there. Now unto him that is able. I know we got to go. Oh, but that is called, that is cause for a pause right there. Give him a praise break. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Right now he's able to keep you from falling. With the very thing that you're struggling with right now, he's still able to keep you from falling. Oh yes, oh yeah, that thing that you dreamt about, that thing that you want to do in secret, right now he's still able to keep you from falling. That thing nobody knows about, but it's just between you and God, but right now he's still able to keep you from falling. That thing that you're struggling with real bad, I'm talking about that thing that got you weak many days, right now he's still able to keep you from falling. Dr. Hobbs told us he's able. He's able. You don't understand. He's able means he has the creative power. Your little problem, your little issue, your little struggle, he has the power. See, sometimes you got to stop praying and just simply believe. Sometimes you got to stop praying and just simply stand on what he said. He has the power. Oh, yeah, every now and then I switch it up on the devil. He think I'm going to keep on praying. No, devil, today I'm going to just stand on his word. He has the power. You spoke to me, I'm going to declare to you, though. He has the power. You want to show me something? Here, let's go over here to Psalms 46 and 10. You got to know how to fight your flesh and fight the devil. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. I bless your wonderful high name, Jesus. That's in my spirit. See, now I will give him praise because he's able. Oh, yes, I will bless his wonderful name because he's able. It starts with our honor unto God. Starts with our love unto God. And then we move into honoring one another. Loving one another. Y'all, we have got to be better. From the pulpit to the door, we have got to be better. With honoring, loving one another, preferring one another, choosing to choose one another. Can you choose me when I messed it up? Will I still be your choice? Will I still be your choice when I made a mess of some stuff? Will I still be your choice when I slipped and fell and I'm all dirty? Will I still be your choice? Because the Bible tells me love covers a multitude of sin. I'm not saying excuse my sin. But I'm saying separate me from my sin. That's love, y'all. That's honor. God has not held our sin to us. Y'all don't understand, but he has not held your sin. Your sin is not tied to you because he sent the Son. I bless his name now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. To keep me from falling. I want to go ahead and move on, but see, I don't know if you can relate to what I'm saying. If you've ever been right there on the edge of some stuff, I'm not not talking about I was about to just tip over and fall. Some days I just want to just go ahead and just jump in that thing and just get all messy, get all filthy, all dirty, all perverted, and all lust, and all pride. Right on the edge, I was about to jump right in that thing, beak first, head first. But I'm so glad, even when I took a leap, his hand was not too short. He reached out for heaven and pulled me right back and set my feet on a solid rock. No, baby, you got to stand on the rock. Oh, you got to stand on the rock. Oh, yeah, when your feet get slippery, I got to put your feet on a solid rock to stand. When you seem confused, I got to place you on a solid rock. Oh, I'm so glad that he's able. I'm so glad that he's able to keep me from falling. Ooh, that thing is, I'm telling you, I wanted to fall. I wanted to commit adultery. Y'all ain't gonna say, I wanted to commit adultery. But he was able to keep me from falling. I wanted to walk away from God and go do my own thing. But I'm so glad he had already predestined my life. He kept me. What she sung? He said he would do just what he said he would do. Somebody need to hear that. Don't you give up on God. Don't you give up on God because he won't give up on you. Hey, don't you give up on God because he won't give up on you. I don't care what mistake. I don't care how you messed it up. I don't care how bad you messed it up. Don't you give up on God because God would never, ever, ever, ever give up on you. He's able. Did you hear what I said? He's able to deliver you. Yes, he is. He's able to save you. He's able to bring you up. He's able. Yes, he is. God bless your wonderful, hot name, God.
He's able.
I know we got to go.
He's able.
I'm reminded in Malachi 1:6 when the Bible says he began to talk to them, a son honored his father and the master, the servant honor or fears his master, and he begins to ask him, and the Bible says the Lord of hosts, the Bible says the Lord of hosts, meaning the God that fights for you and I. You got to understand, when you wanted to give up, he was fighting for you. When you didn't want to be in relationship with him, he's been fighting for you. When you chose something over him, he was fighting for you. When you chose someone over him, he has been fighting for you. Oh, when you can find other reasons not to deal with God, God was fighting for you. When you didn't think it was good enough for God to choose you, God was fighting for you. Because he understood he had a call on your life. Oh, he understood he had a call on your life. He called you and he has not stopped calling you. Guess what? He's calling you because he's fighting for you. He's fighting for you. He's fighting for you. Yes, he is. He's fighting for you. The generational curses and struggle, he's fighting through all of that. The bloodline curses and struggles, he's fighting through all of that. The fleshly issues that you deal with, God is fighting through all of that. I'm so glad that he's able to defeat what I didn't have the power to defeat, to overthrow what I could not overthrow. Don't you give up on God. Don't you give up on God.
Don't give up on God.
Because some of us will say, why do I even got to keep believing? Why I keep praying for this? It ain't never going to happen. Don't you give up on God.
Don't you give up on God.
See, I was there where I almost gave up on what God told me about my father. But I said that you are a man that you shall not lie. You're the son of man that you shall not repent, God. You cannot lie, God. You cannot lie, God. You said you're going to heal him. He shall be healed. You said you're going to heal him. He shall be healed. You know what? I said, because I know you're a healer. The proof is every time I look at my own body, I know you're a healer. Won't you give up on God?
Don't give up on God. He won't give up on you.
Because he's able. Because he's able. I say, because he's able.
He's able.
Won't you give up because he's able?
He's able. He's still able.
He made you a promise. He made you a promise. Don't you give up because he's able.
Still able. He's still able. Still able.
Won't you give up on them children?
He was able.
Don't you give up on those
children.
He is able. I'm telling you, I went back and pulled out the prophetic word God spoke over my baby's life. I said, you need to hear what God said about your own life, God. And I'm not just praying for them, God, but I need to hear what you said about my own children's lives, God. I got to get back to praying and believing what you said about their lives, God. I don't care what the devil is trying to say. I don't care what the devil is trying to do, God. I know what you said, God, and what you said, it shall be, God. Don't you give up on God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Don't give up. Don't give up on God.